on vacay, and I know he'd be upset to miss this guy because we were really excited to get you in the trade. It is our edge rusher. It is he is a bad man. It's Matthew Judon live here on Dukes and Bell. Welcome to Atlanta.
Thank you, thank you, thank y'all for having me.
Hey man, so we were talking about when the trade went down, and loved your response saying, "Look, you know, Falcons don't owe me nothing. I'm here. I'm going to go." Obviously, this is like a contract prove it year all over again for you here.
Yeah, for sure. And that's what I love to do. You know, I didn't get to play last year. You know, I got paid all last year. So it's time to actually go play for some money.
Yeah, the Falcons have had a void at your position, Matt, for a long time. How much pride do you take in being the guy that hopefully comes here and can put up a double-digit sack season?
You know, I don't know what you're talking about, hopefully, but I don't think they have voids. I think they just had some young guys transitioning into that role. I think AK's an awesome pass rusher. You know, y'all got James, and then y'all got Zoe. So, you know, and that was before I got here. And they can all do the job well. And now it's just to go put it out on tape. You know, go let it fly. And you know, don't be timid, don't be scared. Like, you're gonna get yelled at, you're gonna make some mistakes, but like, I'll be trying to get and tell the younger guys, like, you know, name one of the greatest players that ever did, like, didn't do it their way. Like, there's so many great players that do it their way. If you talk about football, basketball, you know, y'all had a guy named Calais here,
right,
and he do the high swim. And it worked for him. And you always hear people like, stay low when you do swim, do it tight. It's like, are you going to get your ribs? Like, that, if you great, like, you will find a way to make it work.
It is a Matthew Judon with us, guys, live here in studio. This hour of the show brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. You are a guy that has been a Pro Bowler, and we know we always advocate for the players because you never know when the career is going to go. You get franchise tagged in Baltimore, so I can see why you'd be a little sideways when we're up there in New England.
Yeah, it was more of just how it was handled more than what was going on. And I feel like, you know, at the end of the day, we all men, you know, we flesh and blood. And you talking to me one way and then your actions speaking a different way, it's just kind of tough. And so, you know, I just went and talked to them about it. And I think they made the right move for where their organization wanted to go. I don't think me getting traded was a personal thing. I think it was just a business decision. And I'm just happy to be here, land on a good team with a great head coach. Y'all just talk to him and you see how energetic he is. You see how real he is. You see how he want to attack the game. And, you know, that's how I can get something I can get behind. And I'm not saying, like, I love those guys up in Massachusetts, man. Like, those are my guys in Foxborough, and I'm always root for them. I'm happy Mayo got his first win, first game as a head coach. All those guys, I still talk to Sticks and all those guys. But, you know, it's a business decision. I'm here now. You got to transition. And so, you know, I'm 110 toes behind at the Atlanta way, the ATL way. And so this is what we got to do.
Had you heard of Coach Rod's got a pretty good rep around the league?
For sure. I didn't know too much about him. You know, I heard about him. When I got traded here, I talked to somebody that, you know, I might put their word over a lot of people's word in this league, Eric Weddle. And Eric Weddle talked to me about him and just the guy he is. He didn't say nothing about scheme. He didn't say nothing about football. He talked about the person he is and how when Eric went and played for him, what the atmosphere was like, how he coached, how he taught, how he led. And not too much about football. It was just about the man that he was. And so, you know, I took that, I took that tenfold, but it was too late. I was getting traded anyway, so it was too late. But, you know, I'm just happy I had, like, somebody out like that to reach out before I even asked him about him. He reached out to me and was like, hey, this is a good dude. You're going to love playing for him.
All right, 18 points, 6 field goals. A lot of those were over 50 yards. How do you evaluate the defense's performance in week one?
You know, we got to be critical. We got to be critical. You can't be like, hey, man, we did our job. No, let's get some takeaways. No, let's get a touchdown. Like, however we got to win, and we don't care about the offense. You know, you can't blink because, you know, if you do those standards – and we at the end of the day, we got to have less points than you know that we have. So that's our job, and we got to keep them off the board. So if they get the ball on the 5-yard line, let's turn it over. Let's find a way to get the ball back on the 4-yard line on our own 4. So instead of going 3 and out and getting a field goal. So that's how we take it on, but we don't hang our heads on nothing. Like, we're not hanging our heads on nothing. That's one game. Well, we gotta live by it. We gotta get better by it, and then we move on.
It's Matthew Judon with this guy's Pro Bowler here on Dukes and Bell Live inside the Ticketmaster Studios. For guys who don't know your backstory, just real quick, big family. Michigan man, go to a small school. Yeah. If you don't know the story, you're banged up before the combine. You do well in one of those, it was the Shrine Game, and you make the decision, like, I'm getting to the combine, whatever I'm dealing with, I'm going to go make an impression, and you did.
Yeah, for sure. I was strong back then. I bench pressed 30 times, man. Nice. I think I was the highest in the D-line. I think I'm not looking it up. I think I was like top 5 in every category that we did, with all the runs, all that. And so, even though my family was watching and stuff, and, they was like, man, we didn't get to see you do nothing because all they was talking about was Bosa. They just kept talking about Joey Bosa. So, but, it's a lot of guys out of that draft class. Chris Jones, Bosa, Yannick. It's a lot of guys that got some sack production. So, I'm just happy, to be still in the league and got my name mixed up with them guys. Like, bro, I'm so blessed, man. I'm so blessed to come from where I'm coming from and had this much success.
Speaking of power, you're going to have to put that on display. A couple of big athletes in the backfield for Philadelphia and their quarterback Jalen Hurts and running back Saquon Barkley. What's the game plan to attack those guys and limit their damage?
We gotta play sound. With that, it's always tough with a running quarterback. A running quarterback can bleed you for 50-plus yards of rushing, and you don't even account for it. You'd be like, oh, we did good on the run, and the backs didn't have that much. And then the quarterback didn't bleed you for 50, and so that add on to the running totals. But then Saquon and Gainwell, like, do not leave that guy out, bro. It's a 1-2, and I think everything that Saquon can do, Gainwell can do, and they both sufficient with catching the ball out the backfield, and they both can hit any cut and stop on the dime and do anything. So, we just got to play sound, and we got to tackle, and we got to game tackle. Like, that's not both of all three of those guys, not 1-2, one guy bringing them down easily. You got to keep them in a vice, and one hit the outside, the other hit the inside leg, and then somebody J-O-P.
And by the way, I know it's a long season, and you guys, as we said, I think most fans felt you guys handled your business on the defensive side. How do you stay even, like, through 17 weeks, man, and not get too high, get too low?
That got to be the mantra. Like, you got to stay level-headed. It's like, sometimes you might explode. Sometimes you might get hot out there, right. and that's the competitive nature. But when you come back and you watch the tape, somebody, Wink Martindale, used to say, it's never as good as it seems, and it's never as bad as it seems. Like, let's watch the tape and see where these plays hurt us, see where we could get better, and see where we did a good job. Because every play not good, every play not bad. And then some plays, you got to do your 111th. I might be on the backside of a run or going the other way, and if they see me crash, and they're going to come right back to that and then run a naked boot or run a boot. And so when it's my turn, I got to be ready. So you just got to stay even keeled.
Well, man, we're glad to have you here in Atlanta. Hopefully we get the dub up there in Philly, man. Glad to have you on the team, man.
Appreciate y'all. And it's my first time on this side of the conference, so let's go get it.
Right on, baby, in the NFC. And no expectations, just we got to get to the Super Bowl. That's Matthew Judon, man, Grand Valley State. In the house.
Appreciate y'all.
Thanks, man. He'll, again, guys, be part of the action Monday night right here on 92.9 The Game. Pre-game starts at 4 o'clock, and then we get to go home and watch it on TV, man. Thanks for the time, Matthew. And, again, really stoked to have him here. And certainly this, Jimmy Lake's defense and getting after, as you said, Chris, some big-time production. both at wide receiver and running back. And he just touched on it. Jalen Hurts, you know, very cool. All of a sudden you look up and there's 50 yards rushing. It might be the difference moving the sticks and extending drives.
Yeah, it's not going to be 18 points. Well, maybe 18 points this week, but it's going to come in a very different way.
Ooh, we hold these guys 18 points. Okay, first chance for us to talk to him, as we said, we did not get a chance to converse during the trade. He just did some media here. We were back in studio at the time, but impressive dude.
Oh, yeah. And I think he's got a career coming in media. He may be taking on one of our seats after this when he's all said and done. But, yeah, and he's obviously going to be one of the key guys, right? I asked Coach Rob about keeping contain and gap integrity. He's going to be one of those guys that when Saquon Barkley wants to break it outside, Matthew Judon better be waiting there to bring him down.
Hey, man, we spoke earlier with Coach Raheem Morris, and a lot of guys are hitting us up on the text line. Can't read all of the texts at 404-726-0929, but a lot of guys hitting us up on Twitter as well, saying that, oh, Coach Rod, he really is the question. Like, he answered the question. Here is the position. Now, you can debate it. You can say that doesn't seem to be what I saw on Sunday, but he says that Kirk Cousins is healthy. And Kirk Cousins told Rich Eisen that he is healthy. This gets back to, is the moment, was it too big with what the Steelers were doing that created some issues that Zach Robinson couldn't pivot against? And that's why we did some of the things which were so uncharacteristic, all the shotgun, all of the pistol, more than he's ever used in his career. But a lot of guys are saying, you know, it sure sounds like they're trying to protect Cousins and he's not 100%.
Yeah, and we're just
never, again, all we can do is take Coach at face value. We asked 300 questions about Kirk Cousins' health best we could.
Yeah, and he basically said that, you know, the play action game just wasn't in the cards for this week. The thing that's just confusing to me about that, Mike, is that's obviously your quarterback's greatest strength, and it gives you the opportunity to expand the offense and the playbook so much more, and to not do it at all makes it seem like, you know, there's clearly something else going on behind the scenes, which is why everyone from Mina Kimes to Dominique Foxworth to our own Dave Archer, everybody's, you know, having all these questions about where is Kirk right now in terms of his progress, and the unfortunate thing is, Mike, we're just never going to know.
Yeah, and, you know, this one thing that Abe last night, we were laughing around because Abe, you know, Abe always comes in hot. Abe Gordon, you hear, of course, producing Andy Rende, and he was doing the night show last night, and, you know, Abe's like, no, what was his take? He had, like, this crazy thing, like, this is as good as it was going to be, and they knew this, but they weren't going to.
Right, essentially that this was the plan all along, and that plan did not include in any way, shape, or form putting the backup in.
Yeah, and I asked him at the end of the conversation, because we spent a lot of time yesterday talking about why didn't you have Penix Jr., but again, when the coach maintains that the starting quarterback is okay, that he will be ready to go week one, this is where we get into, you know, is he passing the eye test? He doesn't look like a guy who can do the things we've seen him do in his prime. I don't know if fans out there expected Kirk Cousins to be able to do this week one.
I did.
I think we all did based on what we saw at camp.
I did.
But as we said, and I asked Coach Rob about this too, I mean, you cannot replicate the game experience. You know, and I heard Randy mention this, Randy McMichael, that holding your blocks for things that happen in the game, you're not doing here at Flowery Branch.
The preseason game speed compared to practice speed is a full at least notch above. Because we watched it here, Mike.
Right.
Yes, when they have padded practices and they're getting after it, they're playing hard, and that no one would accuse anyone of anything else. But when you're in an actual game and there's an opposite colored jersey in front of you, it just represents a different level of speed and intensity that the Falcons didn't look like they were ready to handle in week one.
Yeah, and we talked about it also with Coach about, you know, why not go right after? And that's more of a question for Zach Robinson. I'm sure that R. Joe Patrick and D-Led and the rest of the media, Mark Ramondi, are going to be asking Zach about that today, earlier today, about why don't you go right at T.J. Watt? If you've got it, certainly with McGarry, we know he can pave the road going forward. It's going backwards where he gets in trouble.
By the way, this just in, Caleb McGarry was limited in practice today with a groin.
Okay. I mean, we do have a guy in Storm Norton who started some games last year, and I don't have a problem with him stepping in.
They just brought in somebody else, too, a big guy, 6'8", about the 320, too. So a couple of different options available if Caleb McGarry is a little hampered. Did that just happen?
Were they aware of it? Yeah, they signed Brandon Parker. Is that who we brought in?
I believe that's his name, yeah.
Yeah,
he was with the 49ers.
Released by San Francisco.
Yeah.
He started over 30 games in his NFL career, so he's got starting experience. So now perhaps they knew that something was perhaps amiss with Caleb. As Carl would say, the groin. But we'll get into it and chop it up a little bit later, and we'll replay Coach Rob if you missed the conversation we just had.
I believe we call this a developing
story. Yeah, man. We know that Storm Norton is pretty solid. Brandon Parker is a good backup, you know, in this league. And he was a dude that was kind of became, let's be honest, a bit redundant once they got the contract signed for, who am I forgetting, Trent Williams.
Trent Williams.
And they got that deal done in San Francisco. We'll come back, guys. We'll get more of your reaction. Also, we got some Georgia Bulldogs to talk about some college football. Barbara Dooley, our weekly visit with her. And as we said, you will get to hear Coach Ra if you missed it earlier on here. Dukes and Bell live inside the Ticketmaster Studios at Flat Ranch, the only station broadcasting live from the branch. Is off tomorrow as well. We're up here at Falcons. Just spoke to Raheem Morris and Matthew Judon. If you just get in your car, we're going to replay Coach as part of our strong arm story for your drive home about 5:20. And a lot of guys, you know, wanting more specifics about, you know, the passing game and where Kirk is. You know, the company line is, the comments are, Chris, that he's right, that he's okay. Kirk spent a lot of time, you just looking at some video, he spent about 2 minutes talking about his footwork and how he's approaching throwing out of, sounds like they're going to do more of it. In the shotgun and in the pistol up in Philly, which is really surprising based on what we saw during preseason camp.
Yeah, so about a 2 minute clip just surfaced from his press conference. Shout out to all the local media, the men and women just behind this wall right here. I could tap it and they would hear me doing the interviews with Kirk. And he was laying out that back in April, Zach Robinson, Raheem, and the Brain Trust put together this idea to be in the pistol. And it's something they've been working on ever since. And then Kirk described all of the different formations of his footwork within the pistol and how in certain formations he likes his right leg forward, in other formations he likes his left leg forward. And back in Minnesota when they would run the pistol from time to time, he felt like there was a little bit more clarity in terms of running the offense through it, and he was a little bit more comfortable because he says now when he was trying to turn back on his right. To get the ball to the running backs, there's less time to do so than when you're directly under center. And he was detailing all of that to the reporters, giving them an explanation as to why there may have been some troubles.
Jersey Mike, I'm going to need you to shut the door because I'm going to talk loudly real quick. We're inside the studios. We have the door open here. Little Mike shuts the door. It's a very heavy door. What the hell are we doing?
I don't know.
This makes no sense. The guy is one of the best play-action passers in the league. Why are we reinventing the wheel other than there's a major concern about his Achilles? And why are you asking him to do something he's not comfortable doing? He's talking about his footwork in 2013 when he was backing up RG3. What are we doing?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. If I had heard that before this came subsequently after we interviewed Coach Ra, guys, I might have had. But again, we asked him a bunch of questions. There's only so many ways you can ask him. Is Kirk Cousins 100%? He said he's 100%, and they're moving forward. But why are you reinventing the wheel with a guy unless he can't do the things he's used to doing because of the Achilles?
To me, there's no other explanation. I mean, I have heard some cockamamie theories thrown out that, you know, in the modern-day offense that they're trying to replicate, that there is more pistol being used in L.A. And
Not to this extent.
Not to where it's 80% of the plays that you're running it from and you're not running any play action whatsoever. It just, Mike, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I mean, I know that, you know, Carl and I were going round and round on this, and if he was here, he'd be probably yelling like I am. I just don't – what are we doing? I mean, it's tough, guys, because it's only week one. I mean, so by week four, is Kirk Cousins going to be back to the Kirk Cousins we signed? Or this is really the game plan, that they are going to be pistol heavy, shotgun heavy, with a guy who's never really done it.
Well, how about this afternoon in practice he was taking play action reps?
Yeah, he's backing up. He's doing the things we saw him do during practice. It's very confusing. Like, I'm not going to go ballistic like DEFCON 1 here, but I'm certainly confused. I'll leave it at that. You're going up against an Eagles team that, you know, like we all know, we talked about with Coach Ra, they get after it. They've got aggressive linebackers. They've got Georgia Bulldog and Kobe Dean starting, by the way, in this game. It's just, it's very frustrating because it's nothing like, you know, it's literally like, you know, you studied French and now you're taking the French final exam and now it's Portuguese today. That's what it feels like. I'm having a hard time processing where we're going with this. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, but a lot of fans right now are going, what are we doing?
So you're saying it's like you went to see Les Mis, but instead the Miami Sound Machine showed up. And
believe me, I'd rather see the Miami Sound Machine. The rhythm's going to get you. My mom dragged me to Broadway. Oh, my God. Leave me. Ugh. As my father used to say, I'm smoking an imaginary Marlboro. Why sing it when you can just say it? It'll be over a lot sooner. Period.
That's certainly
I
one
hate
way.
Musicals. Other than maybe Guys in Dolls, because, you know, Sinatra, but that's that goes without saying.
Did you see the Frankie Valli musical?
Yeah, Jersey Boys. Yeah, yeah. That was good. That's okay. You know all the stuff there.
Yeah,
you know, that's
exactly.
A good day night. Okay, that's two. You know, and then I do know Oklahoma because my grandma used to play it all the time. That was O-K-L-A-H-O-M-A-O-K.
I think everybody, it's a rite of passage in America in fifth grade.
Surrey with the fringe on top. Yeah, all that stuff.
In fifth grade, for the play, you got to do Oklahoma.
But no, we did Guys and Dolls. When we went to, what the hell? When my mom had my sister, they sent me off to this camp in Long Island. It was day camp. It was like day camp. Eventually, they sent me off, shipped me off to Florida to get rid of me because I used to drive everybody crazy, as you can imagine. That's why I talk too much for a living. But yeah, it was like Maplewood was the camp, and we did Guys and Dolls. And I'm like, I got the horse right here. His name is Paul Revere. That's why it sticks in my head. So hoping you never were subjected to musical theater, guys, unless you're Steak, in which case you really enjoy it. So getting back to the initial point, what the hell are we doing? Why is nothing like we expected happening offensively? The one thing we were so sold on was Kirk Cousins stabilizing the quarterback position, and he looked like a guy that, you know, looked like a rookie. At times, we did get the touchdown to Michael Penix. And guys, I'm not making it up. Michael Penix to Kyle Pitts.
Yep.
Michael Penix could have done the same thing, I think. I think he could have thrown for a touchdown and two interceptions.
Yeah.
And blown a play we talked about with Coach Ra. Difficult to say if Algier would have gotten more touches because you canceled out three possessions
exactly.
In the middle of them.
Yep. And you asked right at the end of the interview, you know, is Michael Penix ready to go if called upon? Coach Ra says yes, but the plan is the plan is the plan, Mike Bell.
All right. We'll see about this. Talk some dogs. Change it up. This one is just, we'll get back into this at 5 o'clock in the Falcon Report. Barbara Dooley's on the way. Kirby, by the way, talking about the Georgia Bulldogs. I think he's trying to, like, be respectful to Kentucky. Kentucky looked god-awful. Will they be as bad as they were against South Carolina? I don't think it could be any worse.
No.
But if they were, and I don't think they're in a position with a bunch of turnover on that roster to look past anybody. I just think that Shane Beamer's team got after it. Kentucky offensive line is terrible, and Georgia will do the same on Saturday.
Yeah, this is just going to be a stepping stone, getting one week closer to that game at, I can't do it the way Carl does it, but Alabama.
Right. Alabama!
Yes, right. Exactly. Somewhere Jerome's ears just caught fire. Essentially, I think this is just going to be for everyone who likes to place a wager or two, how hard do you want to go on that -24.5?
Kirby says it's been a good week of practice so far. I thought it was a lot better than Monday, what he saw yesterday. Monday was a bad deal because it was coming off Labor Day. That was what he was talking about. They were good Monday, good today. We have two good practices after today. And so he's feeling good. And certainly, you know, you like what you see with Carson Beck. You brought this up yesterday. Remind the listeners that you don't like the way the Georgia's, you know, kind of starting slow out of the gate.
Yeah, they have a notorious inability, I should say, to start fast. And that's something that's haunted them, even going back to the early days of Stetson Bennett. There were a couple of close games against some FCS schools and against some schools that you wouldn't think Georgia would have any trouble routing, which they eventually did. It's sort of like what happened with Alabama and UCF. Sorry to bring up old wounds, Mike Bell.
Right.
But, you know, Georgia has this propensity to start off a little slow. But do I think that's ultimately going to be an issue in this game? No. Why? Because simply put, Mike, the talent gap between Georgia and Kentucky is just too wide. It's not going to matter.
Right. I just look at Georgia, and we said yesterday, 24.5, I jump on that with 2 feet right now. It's hard to see, other than, you know, Mark Stoops and his coaching staff just basically whipping these guys all week up there in Lexington. They just don't have horses for it. A couple more things, by the way, about the Falcons. Some stuff coming out now from the conversation the media had with Zach Robinson. Said they had a good chip block for T.J. Watt. They didn't execute it. Some of that was Pitts not really doing the job, and certainly I didn't see enough of that to think they did any of that well.
That is not what I saw, Mike. Yeah.
No.
That, really? I mean, is that the answer to that question?
Yeah.
I saw Kyle Pitts wave at T.J. Watt and knock him into Caleb McGarry a couple
quote,
of times.
Quote, had a good chip block for T.J. In other words, guys, you're bringing people to help your edge rush or your right tackle against that edge rusher. Caleb McGarry, by the way, with a groin injury, so limited in practice.
That's why I asked about Charlie Warner, Mike.
Right.
Because he's supposed to be that guy that does that.
That's the more physical tight end that's going to specialize more in blocking as Pitts goes downfield. And I think we've already established, guys, Pitts just doesn't do the blocking thing like you need him to. That's why we said just go be Tony Gonzalez. Don't forget it. Don't ask him to do this stuff. The things we say in this room to Arthur Smith all the time. If you can't do it, why are you asking him to do it? A lot of guys are hitting us up on the text line saying, why are they keeping Kirk Cousins in the shotgun or the pistol unless he's not 100%? And they just can't simply put the torque on his ankles back pedaling and doing some of the play action. That's from Jimmy. That's a good question.
Yeah,
and we asked Coach earlier about it. He says he's fine.
We're not going to get a straight answer. I mean, we're getting a straight answer, meaning like coach is looking us in the face and giving us the answer that he's going to give us. But I don't believe – I believe – again, the nicest way to put it is I just think there's a puzzle piece missing to this situation.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins was warming up, taking some under-center snaps, which, again, he did the whole time, you know, last few months leading up to the season and preseason. That's what was so surprising for us, just like you guys, watching the game on Sunday. Kirk Cousins said the idea to run out of the pistol was something that was discussed as we played the soundbite in April. He said the pistol is the reason for the square stance, so he can easily turn. Looks like a fish out of water.
Yeah, and it looks like he can't drive the ball. That's the most important thing. There were so many throws, if you go back and look at the tape, and not all of them were because of he was getting pressure in his face. Some of them were in a clean pocket. It just looked like he was throwing ducks. It just looked like he was short-arming the ball.
All right, if this is the process, you're going to reinvent this quarterback and the way he operates in the backfield. Is this born of the Achilles? It's got
to
be.
It has to be.
There's no reason for Zach Robinson to take a guy that worked in a very similar offense, did the things that Matthew Stafford did, and then ask him to do something he's not done in 10 years. Or 12 years. Makes no sense.
No, and until we see otherwise, it's going to continue to make no sense.
You guys can hit us up on the text line at 404-726-0929. We'll take some phone calls later in the show. We will hear Raheem Morris. We'll replay that conversation for you and get your take. A lot of guys are confused by it. And, you know, real quick, if this is the long-term objective for this offense, it really gives me pause. I said to Carl last week, we don't know what a Zach Robinson offense looks like. I sure as hell didn't expect it to look like that. As far as how Kirk Cousins was going to function in it.
No, and part of that is because we did not see any of this plan put together in preseason, Mike, because we didn't see anything in preseason.
All right, crank it up. Let's turn to musical theater. Now, when they did the movie of this, Marlon Brando couldn't sing.
Right.
He couldn't sing at all. It was painful. Sinatra obviously can do all the heavy lifting in that film. Guys and Dolls. Oren, what's your favorite musical theater piece?
Out of like the three I've seen in my lifetime? I saw Jersey Boys. Jersey Boys was fun.
Everybody likes Jersey Boys.
Is Hamilton
when
count?
I was in, right? No, when we were in Italy on vacation and we were in Tuscany, they had this big music festival going on, and every night it was something different. One night it was, they had a DJ. One night they had like a rock band. One night it was like a jazz thing. I showed the video. Drummer was like freaking Buddy Rich. I was talking to the guy. It's my broken French. Like, tu es très bon.
Oui, oui.
But the first night we were there in Cortona, it's Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh, no.
I mean,
oh,
please, God, no. I mean, literally. Do you think you are? Oh, please, no. On that note, we'll wrap things up here from the branch, and we'll come back with Barbara Dooley, and we'll let Barbara talk about whatever she wants. And I'm curious. When Carl and I talked to Barbara last year, we were asking about her doing like her one-woman show. And speaking of theater, is that something she's going to be pulling off in Athens? We'll talk to the lovely Barbara Dooley. Falcon reported 5. Injury news coming off the offensive line. Coach Rod, 520 on Dukes and Bell. Live from Falcons headquarters, guys, you can hear Coach Raheem Morris if you missed it at about 5:20. But right now, as you heard Mr. Voice say, the first lady of Georgia football, one of our faves, brought to you by Kroger, it is Barbara Dooley on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Hello, Barbara. How are you today?
I'm great. I am in Savannah, Georgia today talking to you.
Nice.
Vince Dooley one of his historical scholarship awards today, so I'm very excited about that.
Oh, that's awesome. We used to love going out to your house when I was working with David Pollack because you know how much Coach just loves his history along with his gardening. But that's great that you're right. carrying on his legacy.
That's exactly right. You're exactly right. As best I can, but he's about to kill me, I'll tell you that.
Well, Barbara, we'll have a little bit more fun this weekend when the Dogs take on Kentucky. They are big favorites to win this one. What are some of your favorite memories about the Kentucky and Georgia rivalry?
Well, it was always really terrible because we were never really ready for Kentucky. No matter how bad of a season they had, they were always ready to play Georgia, and that's going to be no exception Friday night. I mean, Saturday night. They're going to be ready to play us. And
right.
it's an experience like none other because you go to the racetrack during the day, and then at night you're at a football game, and you are wild and crazy, and sometimes it's cold and it's, you're drinking hot chocolate, but the fans are just loud. And Kentucky always comes in the game thinking they're going to beat us. And what we have to do, and what Kirby's team going to have to do this week, is to let them think they're going to beat us, but let them know after the first quarter that they're not going to beat us. That's a mind game. And you just start, the linemen have got to play hard. They've got to block and tackle like they're supposed to. And then Kentucky will start thinking, maybe we're not going to beat them. Don't think we are tonight. But I have to tell you, I want to tell you a memory. Okay. I always have so many memories of our game. And this was, I'm not good with years, but we were behind. It was closing in on the fourth quarter, and we didn't have any timeouts left. We were barreling down the field. We got into field goal range, and this was going to be the game, win or lose. And we lined up, and I've heard Vince tell this story so many times. We lined up, and Vince realized that we didn't have enough men on the field, on the line. And he knew that if we didn't, and we had no timeouts, and he knew that we couldn't make it. We'd get a penalty, or they'd block it, but we would not make it. And all of a sudden, Coach Fran Kersey called a timeout. I don't know why he did it or what he did, but Vincent saw his lineman kneeling on the ground on the sidelines with his head down. And he said, I went, and it was Tim Morrison. And he said, I went over and massaged little Timmy's neck. And I said, Timmy, what the hell are you doing on the sidelines right now when we're supposed to be kicking a field goal? He said, Coach, I'm praying. He said, well, Fran Kersey just heard your prayers and called a timeout. So get your fat tail in the game right now. And he got in the game, and we kicked it and won the game. But that's usually how it is with Kentucky. It's tight.
Right. I'm looking back at your husband's record. I believe it was 21-4 against the Wildcats in his career.
Yeah, so it was. But I think Kirby hasn't lost to him at all.
Right.
I think Kirby's got 20 points on him averaged, doesn't
he? Yeah, they had one game that was really close in Lexington last year. It was 2 years ago. It was really cold, and it was 16-6. Yeah. But for the most part, yeah, Kirby's been. But he always says it's tough up there in Lexington for him.
It is. I don't get it, but they are so ready for us. And if we're not playing our best, we are going to come out in a bad situation. We've got to play sound football. No turnovers. Sound football. And here's what, if you've been reading the sports section, Brock Vandergriff was our second string quarterback for 3 years. You do know that.
Right.
He is now the quarterback at Kentucky. And he's talking about how much he loves our boys and how much they're his best friends. And he's just easing them up for killing. Nothing is better than to leave a team. I don't care how much you love everybody. You want to beat the hell out of them.
Right.
And I know Brock does. So I'm hoping, and Brock's a good quarterback. I'm hoping that our team doesn't get lulled into friendship, because we don't need friendship for about 2.5 hours. We need a
Barbara.
Victory.
I'm telling you, you said it. You know, the Kentucky is ready. They certainly weren't ready for South Carolina last week because, boy, Brock, he threw for, I think it was positive 1 yard offensively altogether. It was not, I mean, I think Georgia's going to whip them by about 4 touchdowns.
You do?
Yeah. I think, I mean.
I don't. No, I don't think so. Well,
right.
I will say this, though. I have never, I've been watching Georgia football for about 60 years. I've never seen a defense like we have. Never, ever, ever. And I don't think Coach Bear Bryant had a defense like Kirby has. They're fast. They're strong. They're huge. Have you seen them in person?
Yes, ma'am.
They're huge.
It looks like an NFL defense.
Right.
I'm telling you, they're good. So if Kentucky beats us, it will be not them beating us, but us beating us. That's the only way Kentucky's going to win. But let me tell you, they're not going to go quietly.
Barbara, when it comes to getting into this time of year, it's always special, the SEC schedule portion for UGA. How much did Coach Dooley used to ramp it up this time of year when you'd be playing the likes of the Kentuckys and the Alabamas, and how much more did it mean?
Oh, it meant a lot more. But now, with these new rules and these new games and these new teams, we can lose two games and still be champions.
That's correct. That's right. With the
new
playoff.
Is that not correct?
That's absolutely correct.
Well, back when we were coaching, one game, that was it. So your pressure was a lot worse. And Vince, he played every game like they were in the greatest shape in the world, and they were going to beat us if we didn't come out fighting. And he was tough. And let me tell you what, the longer the season went, the tougher he got at home. It wasn't easy, but we wanted to win, so we put up with him. We did.
Since we are going to Kentucky, good, Barbara.
I said he would only eat with us once a week because we upset his stomach.
Oh, no.
Well, you had all your relatives wanting to know things for tips for the point spread. We covered that last week. Since they're going to Kentucky, it's obviously a great state for bourbon and brown liquor. Could you take the edge off, Vince, with a Manhattan or an Old Fashioned? He wouldn't touch the stuff during game week.
Not during the season. No. Very disciplined. Very disciplined. No. He worked hard. And right. I think that's why he quit. After 25 years, he just wore himself out.
Well, you don't get to be one of the greatest coaches of all time without a little discipline, I'll tell you that.
Right.
Well, he had a lot of discipline. He really did. But I want to get back to Kentucky right now.
Yes, ma'am.
And ask you, you think they're going to beat by four touchdowns? We're going to beat them by four touchdowns.
They look so flat against South Carolina, unless, you know, I can't imagine they were looking past them because they turned over their roster. I just think that Georgia, this is going to be an easy one. Barb, I really do feel that way.
Good. I'm hoping it is. The one time I didn't go, I had run for Congress, and I had lost that year. And I did not want to go to the Kentucky game and see people because everybody said, I voted for you. I voted for you. And they didn't, or I would have won. So I said, Vincent, I'm not going. So he took my son, Daniel. And when they left, I looked at both of them, and I said, I want y'all to bet money on the first race, a trifecta, 4, 7, and 8.
Right.
Well, I knew Vince Dooley didn't hear me, but, you know, he played like he did. Well, Daniel bet $10 on the first race trifecta that I told him. And I got a phone call. Hey, Mom, I won $300. What have you got in the second? I said, I don't have anything in the second. I just pulled $1 out of the hat. I said, how much did your dad bet? He said, nothing. I said, oh, I'm going to kill him when he gets home. I'm just going to kill him.
Oh, man. Barbara, we always love catching up with you. Next week, I'm going to ask you if you ever thought about owning a horse. We'll cover that next week. But best of luck enjoying the game, and thanks for an awesome visit brought to you by Kroger, and we will talk to you next Thursday.
Thank you. Bye.
She's the best. Barbara Dooley, guys, right there. And Carl will be back next week. Carl's up there in Kentucky and in Lexington for his daughter's parents' week. And always a blast catching up with Barb. Guys, we're live here at Falcons, guys, inside the Ticketmaster Studios. This hour of the show brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Chris is in for Carl.
And we got some tickets to give away, Mike.
Yeah, man, we got those Blake Shelton tickets. It's March 15th coming up at State Farm Arena. Blake Shelton and friends will take the seventh caller right now at 404-726-0929. Seventh caller, talk to Hopalong Oren and get your Blake Shelton friends. Trace Atkins, amongst others, that'll be there. We come back. Why are we running Kirk Cousins out of shotgun and pistols? Zach Robinson answers some questions. We'll hear what the OC had to say. Hear what Raheem Morris said. But we asked him some specific questions about the quarterback at 5:20. All Falcons this hour, guys, plus Grant on the way.